Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
We're in June, and that means big June. That means June is just going to be amazing. And I want to kind of tweak it for you. I want to kind of coach you up a little bit and help you through this process of June. I believe that June of 2015, God's called it just to waylay victory in our lives. But let me just tell you, it's not just about the stuff you have working. I know some of you guys, you're thinking, okay, if I can get that deal closed, or if I can, you know, this job that I'm working, or this deal that I'm putting together, man, if I can get those things, if that can happen, if I can get those things to close in June, man, it'll be a big June. Listen, this isn't really what I'm talking about here. The month of June, I'm using the book of Galatians as kind of the centerpiece, and hopefully you guys are reading through the book of Galatians through this month. And when you get finished reading it, just read it again, and maybe just go chapter one three or four times, and then move to chapter two, and just kind of get it in you. Write some notes in the margin of your Bible, underline some things, or circle some things maybe that you're reminded of from things that were said in a service here that may help you. I think that what we do is we add layers of God's promise into our doctrine, and that's what really truly disciples us. But what essentially Galatians brings to the mix is freedom, and it's really that simple. It's about freedom, because what happened is that Paul wrote this letter to the churches at Galatia because some Judaizers had come in, and they were bringing the law or rules and regulations into the mix of the freedom that we have in Christ and really honestly the power of grace that operates in our lives. You know, the message of grace is such it really at its core is an awkward message to our flesh, to who we are in the natural, because it's like, oh, wait a second, but grace is simply, the reason it's awkward is because it's simply defined as unmerited favor. It's the favor of God that's upon your life that you didn't earn and you don't deserve, and there's nowhere else you could get it. And it's unlike anything else on this planet. And so now it's operative in your life. It's living on the inside of you. God's grace is his power, his supernatural ability, and his favor. And it's unmerited. You don't deserve it. You got to get past that and over your issues of identity and get to that place that it's just, oh my gosh, God loves me so much that he has graced my life. See, it's similar to how God does everything else. Because the way he does anything is the way he does everything. See, we love God because he first loved us. See, I can forgive you or people that have done things or said things or whatever that have been hurtful or harmful to me. I can forgive them because God forgave me. See, that what God's grace does, okay, just in effect, is whatever God has done in your life, you're able to live that. Now that could come from your life. See, it's like the fruit of the Spirit. I think that there's so many people. I think a high percentage, probably 8 or 9 out of 10, of people that are in church today, it's difficult for them to even understand the fruit of the Spirit, which to me is so elementary. It's like, wait a second, we got to go back to that point. And it's like, yes, because, and I'll tell you why, because the fruit of the Spirit, and we could all probably sit here and name the fruit of the Spirit, but the ideology of it, how we have to look at it is that it's not something that we import into our lives. See, God has put his Spirit in us. The difference between the Old and the New Testament is people in the Old Testament didn't have the Spirit of God on the inside of them. They had the Spirit of God on them and around them. See, so now we have the Spirit of God in us. See, it's on us and around us. Sheldon got up and said, oh my gosh, the presence of God is in this place. Why? Because of what you were doing with what was inside of you. And now the fruit of that is, oh my gosh, it's tangible. I can feel it. Man, it's so incredible. But the fruit of the Spirit, there's people that'll say, I just need some patience. You know, I need some loving kindness. I need some long suffering in my life. I'm not very good at that patience thing. I need to get some. So we got to import this stuff when the reality of the fruit of the Spirit is what we export from our lives, from who we really are. I mean, for us to say, you know, I need some patience in my life. Well, the Bible says the tribulation works patience. So you're not going to go out there and pray for tribulation in your life. What, you want some bad stuff to happen so that you can prove your patience? No. It doesn't make sense. But the reason we get to those places where we begin to pray for patience and we begin to think we need to import the fruit of the Spirit in our life is because of the rules and regulations that we've allowed into our doctrine, into who we are, into our lives. And that's where the freedom has to come from. And I want to get past the kind of Mount Rushmore of temptations and Mount Rushmore of addictions that are in people's lives. I don't want to talk about porn or liquor or drugs or what was the fourth one, Sandy? Huh? Cigarettes. It is. It's crazy. It's 2015. And people are still talking about an addiction to cigarettes. It's like, if you still smoke, go ahead. Dear God, everything we know about it. But see, the point is that, and you understand what I'm saying here, okay? That we major on these things that are the external things of our life, that what God wants us to do is to break those things that have gotten in us. And see, and those things that get in us, now listen, we don't talk much about fear and anxiety and worry and complaining. Man, you guys that it's like it's easy for you to complain about things. You know why you complain? Because you have an opinion. You know what that opinion comes from? Your flesh. See, so now it's like I got an opinion. Man, the lights are too bright. And then you know what? Man, 10 seconds later, you run into another person and say, man, can you add some light to the room? I can't even see where I'm going. And a lot of times it's just the age or what type of person it is. But see, we have to understand that in this, God wants to deliver us from worry, from fear, from anxiety, from depression, from insecurity, from inhibitions, from unforgiveness, from bitterness. You know, the reason you very well may drink too much is because you've got unforgiveness in your heart. Man, the reason you might be addicted to porn is because of some abuse that you've suffered and some neglect that you've had and some resentment that you carry. Then if that stuff's broken in your life, let me just tell you, man, that's foreign, that's unnatural. It's not something that you should be attracted to. But see, we have to understand in our lives now that we get to a place where the whole thing's based upon one thing, and it's freedom. It's for freedom that God, Christ has set us free. It's for freedom that God gave his son, Jesus. But to be truly free, we've got to be completely free. And we're still worrying. I mean, oh my gosh! If you could get paid for worrying about your money, you would be a rich person. It's the things that we worry about, and the Bible's real clear. It's like, man, the birds of the air, that sparrow's not worrying about what he's going to eat. That lily's not worrying about what it's going to wear. But you know what? We aren't to be mindless. We're to shift into God's flow. And that's the real message today. See, there's blessing and there's the curse. And see, what the curse does, and the curse is interesting. The curse is the law. The curse becomes the rules and regulations of our life. It's like, hey, okay, everybody here's a Christian. Let me see your Christianity. Put it like this. What are you doing? I don't want to screw up. There's rules out there that I don't want to break. There are regulations. I don't know them all, but I want to tread lightly so that I don't mess with any of them. And that's not the liberty that God's given us in our lives. You know, it's so amazing what Jeremy and some guys are going to do here at the church this summer with Confidence Camp for our kids. And I'll tell you why it's particularly amazing for me is a year or two ago, we were in one of our family meetings that you guys have heard a lot about. And it's really when we had last September in our relationship series that our whole family was up on the stage. And man, all the kids commented about being raised in our home and what it was like. And they all mentioned the family meetings, which they all all were like, their attitude about family meetings wasn't the best, okay? But in one of those family meetings, I remember that we were talking about character, and we were talking about attributes, and we were talking about things in our life that were the strengths of our life and things. And it got to Kennedy, and Kennedy just said, "I believe a strength in my life is confidence." And it really hit me. I thought, oh my gosh, I hope that for everyone raising kids, that we raise confident kids. So now, you know, you could send your kid to a speed camp and a fielding camp and a goalkeeping camp and all these camps. And it's so cool that Jeremy, I believe from God, is inspired to teach our kids and have a confidence camp just to build their confidence. Whether they're 6 years old or they're 16 years old, there's camps for them. But you know, you think about that. I think about that as a church. Sandy, I think about our church is that, man, I want to help build people's lives where they're confident in who they are in Christ. And see, because at the end of the day, no matter how political things seem, or if it's all about the economics and the money, or it's the combatants and things that are going on in the world, at the end of the day, we still carry the name that's above all names, and that's Jesus. You want to talk about your marriage? You want to talk about your finances? You want to talk about raising your kids? God has given you on a silver platter victory because he's given you his name, and it's Jesus. It's a name above all names. You might have a disease that's been diagnosed and they've named that name. I'll tell you what, the greatest news anybody could have that's been diagnosed with a disease is that they name it. Man, they give you, they put a name, leukemia. You're like, okay, I just won. They named it. Jesus is a name above all names. That name has to bow. That name has to curtsy to the name of Jesus. You know, there's debt in your life. Whatever it is, I'm just telling you. Man, you look at that diagnosis. You look at that financial report. And then you use the name of Jesus. That God's given you that authority. And what authority is, it's just simply power that's come from the ruler. Now, if you know that God is the maker of the heavens and earth, and he's given you the name that's above all names, that gives you advantage. And you know what? That gives you favor. Now, things that you'll say, well, man, I should never have any adversity now. No, the Bible says that man, adversity is what the world is in, but we're in it and not of it. Man, I am in the world, but I am not of the world. See, and there's so much of this that, man, we become entitled as here in this country, Americans, and as we have a vote and we have a say and we get opinions and we can be political, and I'm not against any of that stuff. But do you understand that we are aliens on this earth? We are aliens on this planet. That God has rewired us as believers in Jesus and new creations in Christ to not fit in now. You know what we've got to do is we've got to fight to fit in. And when we fit in, that's where Jesus said, "I'd rather you be hot or cold and not room temperature or lukewarm. I'd rather you not fit in." Man, it's repulsive to God when we fit in, but we fight to fit in so much. We fight to be trendy. We fight to be liked. We fight to have followers. And let me just tell you, man, I'm just telling you, all of that stuff is vanity. All of it is. Every bit of it. But you know what, man? We're in an age now where we're checking our likes and checking our followers. And man, I've had people that have contacted me and said, "Why'd you quit following me?" I said, "What are you talking about?" They said, "You quit following me." I said, "Yeah, I got tired of seeing what you had for lunch. Are you kidding me? You're a grown man. You're basically successful. Why would you worry about any of that stuff? I just wanted to purge it. I caught myself scrolling on that phone too much. So it's like, I quit following people. I won't scroll as much. I just follow boring people now. People that you don't care what they put up. So when you turn your phone, you're not scrolling anymore." That was funny. You guys are so serious. You just want all of God you could get. Just give me the word. Quit cracking jokes and just give me the word. But see, we get to a place in our lives where we focus on things that we don't need to focus on. What if you stopped focusing on your drug addiction? You began to focus on who you are in Christ. What if you stop focusing on the debt that you're in? The how you, man, we're upside down in life. No. The world's upside down to us. That's what the Bible says. These are those who've turned the world upside down, and now they're with us. See, the enemy, what the enemy wants to do, and this is it. This is what I want your takeaway for today. You can leave here with the blessed life that God's called you to have, or you can leave here with the curse that's on the world. And it's real simple. It's not, the curse doesn't have fangs or horns or pitchforks or spike tails, none of that stuff. Okay? It's not that. All that a curse is something that suppresses you. Okay? And all a blessing is something that lifts you. So on this side, you take the world, you take darkness, you take the power of Satan. It's just suppression. See, and I'll tell you this. If the devil could kill you, you'd already be dead. See, so don't be thinking, oh, the devil's trying to take me out. He cannot. Yes, he could let you think that he's trying to, but it doesn't matter. If the devil's cheering for me, I'm in trouble. If the devil knows my name, which I hope he does, and the devil hates my guts, which I hope he does, and the devil wants to try to take me out, man, I'm telling you, that must mean that I'm serving God. That must mean I'm putting God first. Why would the enemy want to oppose anybody that doesn't put God first? See, so we look at it, many of the afflictions of the righteous, and you're thinking, oh my gosh. But you know what? But God delivers them from them all. Man, in this world, you're gonna have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. See, we look at this and we're trying to get God, convince God to overcome, help us overcome the troubles that we have in life. All life is troubles on this earth. The world's broken. But you know what? He's overcome the world. See, in this world, you'll have tribulation. It's going to appear to be so difficult. And you know what? Some days, impossible. Man, life can look impossible. That's why we don't trust what we see. We trust every word that's come out of the mouth of God. See, we don't go to the Mount Rushmore anymore and think, oh my gosh, you know, I've got this oppression. No, you know what? I'm gonna take care of the things that God has entitled me to take care of. And you know what that is? Man, so much of it is on the inside of me. See, the kingdom of God is within now. See, that's how we have to look at it. You know, if we can say, man, I'm telling you, it's what every Old Testament saint was striving for, is what we just are born into now. As believers in Jesus. And what we can do is we can overcome by faith. We can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Man, we get that word right. We get our testimony right. We get our report right. We do all things without murmuring or complaining, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So now what God wants to take care of is the fear that has gripped your life. What God wants to take care of today is your anxiety and your inhibition and your insecurity. See, and you know what? And all that stuff gets ingrained in you from birth. We all didn't have perfect parents. We weren't raised in a vacuum, in a perfect home. Man, we were raised by dads who really didn't know how to do it. Maybe guys that came out of your grandparents that came out of the Depression or World War II or, man, those times, and they weren't focusing on parenting like we do now. Man, we realized how vital parenting is. So now we're raising our kids a little differently than we were raised. And you know, church is so much different. Man, I don't believe that I'm unique in thinking that pastoring and parenting are identical, but they are. And see, and this is how this works. What we do is, man, we go to the things that are not just, they aren't just basic, but they're the primary things. Man, the primary things are worry and fear and anxiety and inhibition and bitterness and unforgiveness. Man, you may be involved in something that you become addicted to simply because of unforgiveness that you've allowed to fester in your heart. Man, if that forgiveness happens, the rest of it's just cut off. And guess what? It just sails off. It doesn't have the tie on you anymore. And see, what God wants to do is bring you into his flow that, listen, is constant elevation. Man, it's a lift in your life. You know what it'll bring? You forgive that person in your heart, you'll be promoted. Man, you release the resentment in your heart for something that somebody did. And you know what? They were wrong. You could be black and white. You could be the judge, jury, and executioner and the whole deal. Or you could just say, God, I forgive them because you've forgiven me. God, I thank you for what you're doing in my life right here and right now. God, I thank you that your hand's upon my life every day that I walk this earth. And God, I thank you that greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. I'm not mad at the world anymore, God, because you put something better on the inside of me. I'm not without. See, we've raised up a lot of needy Christians. And you know, that's an oxymoron, because all of our needs met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. At the name of Jesus. But see, God withholds no good thing from those who just simply put him first. See, you know what unforgiveness is? You know what bitterness is? You know what fear is? Anxiety? Do you know what depression is? You putting something ahead of God in your life. That's all it is. It's literally that simple. And you'll say, well, that's so uncaring. No, it just gets you back to that place that you're saved by grace through trust. Man, you don't trust what you feel. You don't trust what you've seen. You trust every word that's come out of the mouth of God. Man, you find God's promise, and then you know what? You allow it to apprehend you, and you apprehend it. Man, you grab a hold of God's promise, and you don't let go, because his promise isn't letting go of you. I'm telling you, healing will come in your body. Peace will come into your mind. Man, I'm telling you, your marriage will turn. Man, there's things in your, you'll think, man, we can't fix it. We've been doing this for so long. I'm telling you, it's Big June. You know what we're preaching? We're preaching freedom. And you know what happens when freedom is proclaimed over your life? All you have to do is open a door to let it in. And that door is Jesus. Because see, what Paul wrote is, he said, even now, as when the book of Moses is read, when the Old Testament law is read, he said, there's a veil over their faces where they can't see. But he said, now we, with unveiled face, we can see God's glory. We can see God's provision. We can see God's forgiveness. We can see God's love very clearly. See, and that's what God's promised us, just to be able to see it. Remember, come and see. Man, I see God's forgiveness. I see God's glory. I see God's provision. But see, I think it starts from the very beginning where I think people are convinced that they chose God, where they chose Jesus. See, what's amazing is that Jesus made himself real to me. And you know, that day, I didn't realize it, but that day when Jesus became real to me in 1979, man, he chose me that day. Because I tried to shake it. I tried to stiff-arm God for a couple months, but I couldn't. I couldn't shake it. And then finally, I was driving home from a drunk tank. I said, that's it, God. I'm done. I came to the realization where I'm standing without boots, without a belt, in the middle of this drunk tank with one guy in there with me, passed out on this concrete bench. And three of the four walls were concrete, and the fourth wall was bars. And I was standing there, and I'm looking at this drain. It's like a manhole cover, the size of this drain. I'm thinking, this is unbelievable. It's a 20 by 20 room, and they've got a manhole cover for a drain. And in my mind, at 4 o'clock in the morning, here's what I'm thinking. Why would they need this big a drain? This is crazy. I mean, here I am. This is what your mind does. And all of a sudden, as I'm thinking, why do they need this big a drain? I realize my feet are wet, because I'm standing between the drain and the drunk. And he'd relieved himself. And I remember standing there thinking, now it can't get any worse than this. That's it. And I'm telling you, I said, that's it. And in my heart, I meant it. I'm driving home, and I said, God, I'm going to get my life right with you at church this morning. And I went to church a few hours later, and I gave my life to Jesus. And I'd like to tell you that it's been smooth sailing, and I've never looked back. But I hadn't looked back very often. And I'm telling you, I purpose in my life not to look back now. I purpose in my life. Why? Because Jesus said this. I didn't choose Jesus. You know what he did that day? He chose me. Jesus said, I chose you and I have appointed you. You've been chosen. You have an appointment on your life to God's purpose. And now we live God's purpose. See, and that's where we want to be. That's where the trail is leading us, is to the purpose of God in our life. Man, that's why we promote Love Works every Sunday night for married and engaged people. That's why we offer the internship for people that might just be stuck in their lives and want to serve God. They know there's a call of God in their life. But you know what? They've got all kinds of hooks and all kinds of barbs and all kinds of traps that they're in. And you know what? Man, my life's too busy. I've got too much responsibility to do it. Well, you know what? We want to find a way. You know why? We serve a God who provides a way where there is no way. It all boils down to this. And I'm going to close with just the statement of purpose that God's given me for my life. And it's simple. It's fourfold. It's to win people to Jesus. It's to disciple them. It's to raise and train up emerging leaders and to plant churches. And you know what? I hit my head on this all the time. How many churches are sitting in this room right now? But you know what? We've got to be like the centurion that came to Jesus and said, let me tell you, I too am a man under authority. I get it. You don't have to come visit my servant, but if you just speak the word, I know that that person will be healed. And Jesus said, I haven't seen such great faith in all of Israel. Why? Because they understand authority. Man, how will they know unless someone preach? How will someone preach unless they're sent? How will they know unless they hear? How will they hear unless unless someone preach? How will they preach unless they're sent? See, the big thing that I said is who sent you? Man, that's the purpose that's on my life, and I believe on this church, is to send people to their purpose, is to help people fulfill the purpose that's on their lives. But you know, I think too many people, it just becomes renegade. Man, I've got this thing in me. I want to start a Bible study. I want to start a mission. I want to start a ministry. But then you boil down to it. It's like, who sent you? And you say, well, God sent me. Yeah, that's not what the word says. There's authority that God's placed on this earth. And you know what that authority provides? Freedom. See, our flesh doesn't get that. But I'm telling you that God designed this not to appeal to our flesh, but to who we are in Christ. Can you trust God? I believe the answer is yes. Nothing's impossible if you just put God first, if you just trust Him. With man, so much is impossible. With God, with our trust in Him, nothing's impossible.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.